All right, welcome to the Town of Fulton Board of Selectmen meeting Tuesday, January 6th, 2026, 6:30 p.m. at the Bolton Town Hall and via Zoom. First, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and next we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So number four on the agenda is appointments to the Veterans Commission.
You skipped three.
Public comment. Is there any public comment? I don't see any, but we don't have any here. Okay, so number four, appointments. There's two appointments. One is Carol Franco for the Veterans Commission as an alternate, and Anna Spencer for the Veterans Commission as an alternate as well. You need a motion for them?
Yes.
So, yeah, I just have a question. So I think I know the reason we put off Carol Franco's appointment last time was because she had both full member and alternate checked. So somebody checked with her and confirmed that she wants to be an alternate?
Correct.
Okay.
And I think that's all that was left.
That's all that's available.
Okay, I see. Commission. And, so Anna is going to be an alternate also, even though her application has full member?
That's all that's currently available.
Okay. So there's going to be two alternates.
Correct.
Okay.
So in theory, it's a full commission.
Good.
Yes. Is there a motion to accept the appointments?
I would make a motion to accept the appointments of Carol Franco and Anna Spencer to the Veterans Commission as alternates.
I'll second the motion.
It was Tim made the motion. Matt seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Bob, it's seven, yes. And next is correspondence. There's Casey's resignation letter. I don't think I'm going to read that. You're good with that. And then the town of Vernon. They have a new assistant animal control officer. So, you call for it. The Vernon supplies us with our animal control. Well, we just pay them a lump sum.
So we pay them a lump sum. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a lump sum based on usage or a lump sum just no matter if we use them or not?
So we use them pretty regularly, and it's a lump sum. Just it's an annual contract, okay. And it's either $6,000 or $6,500 a year. Okay. It's a very good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we don't need cages and cars and vans.
Right. Or a facility to house them.
Yeah.
And then the liability that's associated with that is then carried.
By the town of Vernon.
Town of Vernon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number six, new business. Consider and possibly act on a grant application for the playground. So. I handed that out last week too.
Yeah.
So they got a $50,000 grant, and they want to put it in with the playground. So they have the first 500. Was it 500?
So this is for us to act on applying for the grant for the 500,000. This has nothing to do with the T-Mobile grant.
Oh, okay, it's the real one.
So that's not a bond.
Right. So they got the money from the bond commission, but similar to the Parks and Rec grant, we now have to apply for it, and the town has to be the applicant.
Oh, so we got the money already, but it's been
granted, but we still have to go through the motions of filling out the application.
Okay.
Very much like the Parks and Rec grant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the grantor for that.
The playground, the accessible playground?
The state of Connecticut.
The state.
Oh, okay.
But the town of Bolton will be the fiduciary, which is why we're asking the Board of Selectmen to act on it.
So it's a $500,000
liability.
Grant.
Grants.
Okay. And not a $50,000.
No.
Right. So the PTA apparently does have their own 501c3 status, and they're going to apply for the T-Mobile grant on their own.
Yeah. I remember that now that you said that last time they were able to do that as a nonprofit.
Correct.
Good.
And so why aren't they able to administer this one as the, is it because the state requires the town to be?
It's also on town property.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I certainly support it. Is there any specific thing that's necessary to identify it correctly?
Just improve the application.
No, they've asked that Rodney be the signator on the grant application.
Okay.
And we're actually having a meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock with the PTA and Superintendent Caruso. And I can't remember who else. I think it's mostly just the superintendent and PTA, and I believe the principal from BCS.
It's got 10 names on there. So
yeah, it's quite a few.
An organization going on.
Okay, good. So, a lot of people have will
at risk of messing it up. I would make a motion that we allow
application.
Rodney Fournier to sign on behalf of the Board of Selectmen and apply for the grant from the state of Connecticut for the accessible playground at Fulton Center School.
David would second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Tim making the motion, by the way.
Yes.
Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Bob. That's 7 yes. Next is consider possibly act on the AFSCME 1303-126 highway contract renewal. And that is in here.
Yep, it is number 7 in your package.
And I believe that this letter reflects the changes.
This is all of the changes to the contract.
So we authorized Jim to negotiate with the union for the changes in their contract, which was up in July.
Was it? Correct. June 30th.
And a subcommittee met. We talked about this.
We did.
It did go to subcommittee. Which subcommittee is that? That
personnel.
I always mess up. We always mess up those two.
Yeah. But it was Tim and Mather?
Finance and Administration.
Okay, yes. So you both were on that?
Yes.
Okay. So we did review the terms of the contract and the requested changes. And I think...
And all we did was work out some fine details after that last meeting. We talked a little bit more about the boot allowance, trying to get that worked out. That was really one of the biggest things that we worked on after we met as a committee.
Sorry, which one?
The boot.
Oh, right. The 250.
Yeah.
So this new contract, what is the anticipated delta between what we currently pay and what we will be paying?
I don't think we calculate that.
Yeah, I did not calculate it in that way.
The contracts talk in terms of percentage increases year after year.
Yeah, and it's just kind of hard to put that together because if you'd anticipate, you know, like to anticipate that it would be a standard 3 across the board, you know, or, you know, if we were to look at last year's and say, all right, we could just anticipate a 3% overall increase, or is there some other changes just kind of looking at the way
the health insurance is going up?
Right. The health insurance goes up by 0.5 percentage point
that they pay.
Right. That's their contributions.
Okay.
So we negotiated their contribution up.
Excellent.
And the vacation thing was, there's just a couple quirky little things in there.
Yeah, we clarified the language about that.
Yeah. And trying to get them to only have one person on vacation during
at
winter.
At a time during the plow season.
At a time.
Yes.
So any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Someone needs to
we need a motion for
yeah, we need a motion.
Gwen, you're okay with everything, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I know you guys weren't involved from the beginning.
Yeah.
But certainly the information's available.
The existing yeah. contract is online, and when this contract is signed, it will be online.
Thank you.
So if you're interested in the full terms of the existing contract, it is available online.
Okay, I would make a motion to approve the AFSCME 1303-126 highway contract renewal as negotiated by
Jim Rupert. That's 3 years of 20.
4 years, 2026 and 2027.
Could we please consider making that retroactive to
2025?
July 1st.
2025?
Correct.
So that
yeah, we talked about that. We'll start over there.
Okay. All right. And then, so the end date, this is a three-year?
3 years. Yeah.
So the end date's going to be 6/30/28?
Yeah.
Okay.
6/30/28. Okay, start over. I make a motion that we approve the highway contract renewal for AFSCME 1303-126, retroactive to July 1st, 2025, expiring 6/30/28.
I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 And the motion was by Tim and seconded by Glenn.
Next, consider an act on approval of Heritage Farm lease February 1st, 2026 through December 31st, 2027, which is for the hay removal.
So we went out to bid. We got two bids. One was significantly higher than the other. I believe it was $6,127 per year. And that is our recommendation that you endorse that.
And who was the other bid? And how much?
One bid was from Giglio. It was for just a little over $3,000 a year. This is almost double. The one from Pajoli Farms is almost double the offer from Leonard Giglio.
Yeah. Any other questions? And is that?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is that in line with, because he's done it before, is that in line with what he's bid, what his bid has been?
I don't know that.
Yeah, that was my question. What's the current amount?
Which it's around $3,000 a year. That's so off the top of my head.
What Lenny's paying right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
And I believe that the new contract does not include the Herrick Park, correct?
Correct.
Or the area around this.
As long as we haven't started construction, they're able to hay that, but it's excluded from the lease and has been for the last cycle and this cycle.
And where did we ever land with the amendments to the soil issue? Like a couple of years ago, we talked about that. About a farmer, you know, you get a certain amount of hay off of the field, but if you make amendments to the soil, you get more. But they were saying, I don't want to invest this into amendments if then I lose the contract in 2 years, I'm not reaping. Was there any more?
We had no more discussion.
No more stuff. Okay. Because I was just curious if that was leading to the increase, significant increase in a bid, if there was some reason for that.
So that's what he's paying us.
Right, I know.
Okay, I think it's double. It's right. Just, it's competitive and he needs the hay.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's a reason. I just,
it's a bit like, hey, 15 bucks or something.
10.
Well, he does the round bales.
The big ones.
Yeah, he does the big round bales.
I understand that this bid sounds like it's twice as much as the other bid, but for procedural purposes, I think that both bids should have been presented to us. Just because you're presenting one, I thought, oh no, we only got one bid, and now I'm hearing that we actually got two bids. I would have liked to have seen the other bid come in, and just so I could see how it was worded and the fact that we actually did it. So I don't know. I mean, was there any reason why you just presented this one?
I wasn't here when the package was put together. I was away on vacation. I tried to actually enjoy myself. So I did not have the opportunity to review the package before it was put together and sent out.
Okay. Right. I think in the future, if there are bids requested, we should see all the bids. And maybe our decision would have come out to be the same. And maybe we would have automatically accept the higher one, but I think we should see.
Makes sense. I think we had a issue before where one person included and the other did not include per year. And so there was some confusion.
Yeah. Any specific terms or conditions or anything like that?
It ended up being fine, but
yeah,
you know. We get to see both organs.
Duly noted. Any other discussion? We need a motion to.
I guess I do have one other question, if I may. I'm sorry. Just being new to town, too, that I assume Mr. Joly is, he's familiar, and we do anticipate, you know, just that he'll do it and that it'll be done in a, you know, in a way that he isn't just blowing money away, but it is going to, you know, put us at some degree.
He's had the lease in the past and did a tremendous job managing the property when he was both less.
Thank you.
The family's lived in town for decades.
Right. That's, yeah. I'm new here.
No, yeah. So that's a good question.
Both Mr. Giglio and Mr. Joly have done a great job when each one has had the lease. So. I have no concerns. I would vouch for both of them on that regard.
What? All right. Well, then I'll make the motion that we accept the bid as detailed by Mr. Conference Joly for the farm lease per the terms February 1, 2026 through December 31st, 2027.
I will second that.
Is there any additional discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Bob, and that's seven.
Motion by Bryce, second by Mather.
Now we consider an act on acknowledging Don Fish tax abatement for dairy farms. This isn't anything new. It's been there all along. And
I won't ask about Don Fish.
But what I think is new is I don't remember ever
doing this.
Having yeah. to come.
We did it last year. We've done it since Kara has come on board.
And why does she want us to approve it?
Because it's actually already in place, but it actually is required that the Board of Selectmen approve it.
I didn't see that in the ordinance. The ordinance just reads that the assessor.
That was her understanding of the process. So she's asked us for the last 2 or 3 years to do this. So it's not the first time I've done it.
So she had documentation.
In the ordinance that it had to be done yearly before.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
The submission has to
be. Yeah, he's got to apply.
That's right. But the assessor has the right to approve this. I don't think the selectmen have to approve it.
I think she just wants backup.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's not.
Is this required for all farms? Like
dairy. This is
dairy.
This is specific for dairy, yeah.
But there's also an ordinance that allows abatement of taxes for farm equipment for all types of farms and build a farm and buildings that are associated with a farming operation too,
right.
Whether they're dairy or not. So it just happens to be that Don is the only one who has a dairy farm who could take advantage of this nice abatement, but other farmers can take advantage of the other types of tax abatements.
But don't need to be approved by Board of Selectmen.
Apparently. I don't think they need to. I think the assessor does it. She's the one who goes out and looks at the barn and say, you know, is this associated with the farming operation? Mm-hmm. She looks at the equipment, and we're not doing that. So I don't really think we need to approve it. I don't have a problem approving this, but it really is in her jurisdiction to do it.
And then I guess on that note too, if I may, that I think the ordinance said up to 50%. Or is it straight 50%?
I think it's 50.
I think it said up to, depending on how much of the land, percent of land was used for specific dairy farming.
And then is that noted anywhere in this too? So if we accept this, then we're saying, okay, we agree that this should be abated, but then you have to define the percentage?
I think the assessor does that.
She assigns that.
Right, which would make sense.
They kind of have it listed.
But just then I can't help but wonder, what is the percentage given?
Well, it's not, I don't know if it's a percentage or a fixed cost. And if there's something like the first 100,000.
That's the equipment ordinance, yeah, and the buildings. This is a 50%.
I have it up.
Do you do? What is, yeah, could you
the,
read us?
The purpose of this ordinance is to permit those dairy farmers who qualify here under to obtain an abatement of 50% of their tax liability annually, and to provide the recapture of taxes so abated in the event that farming activity subsequently ceases. So if they stop dairy farming next year, over the next 10 years.
And there's a sliding scale of
that. Yeah, the abatement is recouped based on what year it is.
And that says 50% of the tax liability.
Yes.
It's not, so it's not based on, well, there's, I don't, it's not based on a percentage of the acreage used for farming, I don't think.
The abatement shall be equal to 50% of the property taxes for the qualifying assessed components of the dairy farm.
Okay. So the assessor goes out, determines what the qualifying component is, assesses that, and it's 50% of that. So that's how I understand that.
Any abatement will continue in full as permitted by state law or until such time that this ordinance is modified by the Board of Selectmen. I think that's the only... Yeah, that's the only place Board of Selectmen is included.
Statute's pretty old, but it does say it's not more than $100,000. So
that's for the equipment, though, right?
Buildings.
Buildings and equipment.
Right. Yeah. Well, we have a motion.
I would make a motion to acknowledge Don Fish's tax abatement for dairy farms.
Is there any other discussion?
I'll second that.
Gwen seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous.
Okay. No, I just finished reading the third page after we voted, so I'll just do my comment.
I'm sorry, who made the first motion?
Tim.
Tim, thank you.
Next is number 10, consider an act on acknowledging,
that should be
on approving Bolton Land Trust holding.
Rodney, I'm so sorry. The percentage abatement allowed on the third page, that I feel like in order, like, you know, this is a one-off for us, so I'm not going to harp on it too long, but it does make sense for that to be completed. If it does have a chairman vote under that, that we would have all information included in our vote.
And since the chairman vote isn't required, then the form should probably be updated to not include that information anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We tear the bottom of the page off and continue with the
motion. Put it in front of me, I'm going to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that that form should be updated.
Yeah.
You already vote? Yes.
Yeah.
We're moving on to consider an act on approving Bolton Land Trust holding the second Old Polar Plunge in Indian Knots Park on Sunday, March 15th, 2026. Is there any comments or discussions?
I wanted to bring up one thing. There was supposed to have been a substitute form in place of this one presented either yesterday, brought by hand in yesterday or today. Because this form was signed by Karen Cordero, who's no longer a director, and the Land Trust felt it was more appropriate to have a current director sign it. So either Debbie Livingston or Mary Terhune were going to drop that off today.
She was here except for about 15 minutes today, and I didn't see either of them.
Really? Okay.
When is this being held?
Marketing.
We can hold off.
Do we want to table it until?
We can hold it off until next week.
Yeah, a week after, I think it is, but
to put weeks, it right. Okay, to put it on another agenda.
Yeah, but if we're waiting for an updated form, we can we can table it.
Well, and I would think for discussion for us then too. We have an AP next week.
We do. Right?
And then so would this be one of those things if we want to ensue discussion on now?
We have a Board of Selectmen's meeting next week that includes AP.
Well, that we could consider this. I mean, it's really up to the to Rodney and
see, I am trainable.
Yes.
Yeah, we got time to throw that in there.
Sure. I think we revisit this. I'll make a motion to table this discussion.
I don't think there's a motion necessary for two of them.
No. Okay, fine. We're sent it.
Tabled.
Sorry, cut you off.
Do you want to ask?
No, you're good.
You had another question on this too. Did you?
No, this one.
Okay.
Next is the finance reports. Is there any comments, questions?
I see this a lot when we're in the finance committee meeting, so this isn't my first go around with these charts, but I'm curious, the probate costs are pretty low, but they're already at 90% of their budget for the year.
It's not unusual.
Okay. Are we expected to go over?
No, it's a fixed cost.
Perfect.
We just don't know the cost. We carry 7,000 and it's 6,300 or whatever.
Yeah, it's 6,506K or something.
We have a pretty good idea when we build the budget what it is. We haven't gotten that estimate yet, but we do have it. It usually goes up a little bit, but it's not.
Is there any other questions?
You feel like we're on track, Jim?
I do. It, and one of the things I will say is, and we do this for the finance committee, we do the same thing for the board of selectmen, is if we felt that there was an area of issue, we would highlight it so that we could begin. If you remember a couple of years ago, we started doing that with trash because we were.
Yes.
And we ended up making some transfers to public trash.
Yes. If you want to further scrutinize these tables, we'll do that in the next finance committee, I'm sure.
And so it looks like animal control here is 10K. There, at least that is our.
So there are other things that happen. So if we pick up a dog on the side of the road that's been hit by a car, we have vet bills that. So there are things in that budget that are aside from just our contract with Vernon. So we do have some occasional vet bills with Bolton Vet.
And so that allows us one dog a year.
They actually treat us pretty well.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately. And most of the time it's cats, not dogs that we're dealing with.
But, or deer. What happens with deer? Mm-hmm. You have to incinerate them too. Or...
There's a place that they go.
There's a place they go.
Well, apparently in New Hampshire, if they get hit on the side of the road, you can just take them and you know, it's part of the hunting process. So
right. Wow.
If they're fresh.
Yeah. Any questions on the tax collector form? We'll move on to number 12. Approval of minutes.
Which you have to table because we don't have completed minutes. We got them with some questions that we've got to respond to. So we'll have those for the next meeting.
Number 13, town administrator's report.
These are cruising time.
A question I did have, it's partway down in relation to the windstorm that was on the 19th, where you had sent a great email around to the Board of Selectmen. And I was wondering why our town emergency services weren't utilized to notify town residents. Just kind of keep them appraised. We have 55% of outage. We had, you know, just kind of the great information you gave us. If that was an appropriate form.
So, I mean, it's not something that we, if there are areas that we need people to avoid due to something, we normally would do that. We don't generally use it just for updates because we get residents that get frustrated with overuse of that system. And it's kind of hard to figure out where that balance lies. And the Board of Selectmen has talked about this and actually wrestled with it a little bit, you know, because like one of the things that we started doing with it a couple of years ago is utilizing it to remind people that, you know, voting is going on. And we got a lot of pushback from citizens when we started doing that. And we had to remind them that it is not an emergency notification system. It's a notification system that is also used in emergency purposes. So, you know, we don't have a set of standardized policies. You know, we try to make good judgment and not overuse the system. It's certainly something to think about and discuss.
Do residents have the opportunity to opt in or opt out of yes. those services?
So then from your perspective then too, Jim, would it be ideal if we worked with you to establish some type of, you know, an SOP of when this notification system should be used?
We know to use it in an emergency. It's hard to decide when to use it outside of an emergency without
overusing it.
For right. sure. No,
because,
I wouldn't be
because the other thing is you want people to pay attention when you need them to pay attention.
Yeah. Right. You don't need to be the notification
right.
person who cried wolf. And I get that.
Yeah. So there's a balance sure. to be found there somewhere.
And crying wolf is an opinion of every other person.
Sure. So,
right. What,
so,
what
yeah.
right? Because what you think might is appropriate, you know, maybe Tim doesn't think is appropriate, or vice versa. Yeah.
What do you think, Tim? Do you think it would be a good use of this system?
In what scenario?
Where 55% of the town, yeah. Okay.
If they're at risk health wise, then it would be appropriate. Hurricane.
Well, exigent circumstance.
I think I got 3 or 4 notifications from Eversource on the last time we lost power. I mean, it's kind of already there.
Okay.
Does everybody else get them, or is it just me?
I got it.
Yeah.
I've only lost power once in the last 3 years. So.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we had a main road that was closed, we would, you know, you've probably seen them before
right.
if you opt in.
Sure.
You know, we'd say, yeah. you know, please avoid the area. Whether it's, you know, during a power outage or, you
major
know,
accident.
A major car accident.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I don't need to keep us on this.
I think it's a great question.
Another question I had, too, on the tie-in bond cost overrun.
I've met with them. They have not come back to me yet. So the bill is still not paid. The issue is still not resolved. I plan on reaching out to them now that the holidays are over and saying, where are we at?
So, yeah, when do we expect, did they say, hey, we're going to get you a response by X, or they just say,
I know that the gentleman that I met with was not able to make the decision that he had to bring this back. And I know that his boss had some family tragedy over the holidays. So that may be part of the reason that we haven't gotten a response yet.
Thanks.
Good question. Where are they holding the Groundhog Day race? Brandy Street or
Maple Valley.
Yep, my neighborhood. I just saw that Debbie Livingston just put out a note. So the groundhog race is going to be. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Did you get the email?
I didn't get the email, but I saw it posted.
So it's going to be starting here, running down Maple Valley Road,
which is steep.
Yeah.
It's not.
But it's all. It's going to be downhill.
No, I know, but like, there's only so fast you can run downhill without feeling like you're about to trip and
well,
fall down.
Well, being endangered
as the RD of a separate downhill mile race.
Some of us don't really want to run that fast anyway, so it's not going to be a problem.
So we had for the polar plunge that came to us for approval, and the groundhog race didn't. What, like, just what comes to
us
and
difference
what doesn't
in the event?
Neither one of them have to come to you, but there's been some concern around the polar plunge. So that, you know, so we escalated it to the Board of Selectmen. So
concerns being from a liability.
Well, so there, you know, so we require that they get their own insurance.
Yeah.
So, and they do provide us with insurance for that. But, you know, like 1 year there was an unfortunate event shortly before the polar plunge was supposed to start. And certainly the first time these things are done, they get brought to the Board of Selectmen. And then it was actually requested by the applicant to bring it to the board.
Okay.
It was?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is...
And the applicant we were dealing with at the time was Karen. She asked us to bring it to the board.
Okay.
And the other one, we asked that they find another route because there's too many intersecting roads on Brandy Street. And
it required too many town resources, you know, because there's so many roads there that we have to close off. It required too many town resources.
Yeah.
This was something that didn't require as many town resources.
I assume the race also then had to find insurance, not just the polar plunge.
Yes.
They're an actual organization, aren't they? The group that runs.
I don't know.
Well, it depends if she put it under Schnipset or not. The Striders,
right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know who she. Organizing events.
So, is there any other discussion on that? The administrator's report.
The study and the contract management. Do we have anticipated schedule for those two line items? the STV study and then Manasaur?
We reached out to STV yesterday. I don't have a response back from them yet, but STV is well underway.
Okay.
Manitou, we just executed the contract before the holidays, and he reached out today. I wasn't able to take his call, so we'll connect tomorrow, and I'll be able to give you better information at the next meeting.
Okay. And then I think there's a potential typo I wanted to just confirm on the top
Could
of
be.
The second page. It says CRCRC. I think that should be CRCRG.
Yes.
Okay, just want to confirm.
That is correct.
All
Thank
right.
You.
So that leads us on to number 14. So we need to go into executive session. And that requires no pencils, no typing.
And you need a motion to go into executive session.
You need a motion. Right. And we need to get rid of some people on this monitor. So is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go into executive session at 7:05.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who seconded? Sorry.
Tim seconded.
I think that was a unanimous.
I have a question on executive session because I'm new here too. Yeah.
Can we back up a second?
Back to the discussion of the
Session? I'm probably pertinent to the executive session, so the motion should include inviting me to the executive session.
Okay, yeah, I'll amend my motion to include Jim Rupert, the administrative officer.
I will second the motion. Did you have a question under discussion?
Yeah, and I'll just so into this executive session, we'll be discussing an appointment or an employment performance evaluation, health or dismissal of a town officer or employee. Is that why we're going into executive session? I mean, I guess my confusion lies with what I mentioned earlier, is that as it relates to how a contract is worded, is that why we're entering executive session, or is it just a personnel matter that should be addressed in executive session?
Well, there's a contract and a personnel issue.
Okay.
There's two separate issues.
And they're not necessarily issues. So
not from that perspective.
Yeah, right. Not from the problematic perspective.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
All in favor of going into executive session? That's seven yes. That was a
I'll vote yes.
Six and a half, yes. That was a unanimous.
It'll be okay. We're gonna get through it.
I know you like to keep these moving, Tim. I'm sorry.
You're doing fine.
Andrea, you can leave the meeting at this point, and I will email you and let you know what time we came out of executive session. We're not currently.
Yep.
Excellent. Right, and then I will move the community voice channel to a waiting room.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Happy New Year.
So, Community Voice Channel is the one who records these meetings. That's
no.
The question. Jim, we're at the bottom.
Third from the bottom. Down one. There you go.
There it is. Sorry, I couldn't find it. Thank you. I'm trying to do two things at the same time. Some, at this time of night, I'm not as
adept. Multitasking is difficult anyway.
Yeah. So, could you explain how that works? Like, so CBC is. Do they handle our recordings?
No, we do our recording, and we're going to.
So we need a motion.
No, we're out of executive session at 7:48.
We need a motion to add an item.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to add the AP item to the agenda for approving the PO that was missed at the last meeting.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
It goes nuts.
Do we need to vote on that?
Yeah,
we need to vote on that for you. Okay.
Yes. Is there any discussion? So it's pretty
was that
well
Tim,
stated.
Tim, you seconded?
No, I seconded.
Mather seconded.
It's pretty well stated what's going on there.
No.
Yeah.
No questions for that.
No questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. That's unanimous. Seven yes. And now we move on to
adjournment
number 15.
That was just a motion to add the item to the
agenda. Right, you've got to actually vote on the motion.
Okay. I will make a motion to approve the $613.26 AP that was not included in the last AP meeting.
Any discussion?
I will second that.
Good. That makes it easy for me in my notes.
Okay. Yeah. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passed 7-0. Thank you, Bob.
I move we adjourn.
No. We have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Bryce seconds.
Bryce.
All right. Well, it wasn't the diamond meeting, but
listen to that.
Thank you. Hey.
Peace be with you.
Have a good weekend.
Happy New Year.
It's
only Tuesday, unfortunately, right? Or are they?
I'm trying to catch up.
Hey, Rod, I need an electrician.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Well, let me stop recording and you guys can talk. All right. Go ahead and talk.
I got your phone number.